I want to start by talking to you about your platform. One of your main causes as Miss New York is the fight against bullying. So how did this issue in particular become an important one for you?
I picked bullying because it was not only personal to me through my own experiences, but more importantly, the experiences that my siblings went through. I had two siblings who grew up with disabilities, and to watch them be mistreated for something that really was a difference and yet not at all, in my opinion, was difficult. And I saw how it started to shape their personalities. And then as I got older, my older sister, who suffers from dyslexia, lost a college degree because of a bullying professor. The way he treated her got her to a point where she couldn't stand to take one more class with him and dropped her second major in the final semester because he taught the last class. And then I also went through at the same time an experience with an ex-boyfriend who cyber-stalked me by text message for a year and a half. And when I finally reached out for help, I was told by law enforcement that there was nothing they could do. And that is when it really occurred to me that if a 19-year-old is reaching out for help and being told there's nothing they can do, that's dangerous. And the cyber world is only getting worse. So I think the whole world of bullying is getting worse. And it's also evolving in a way that's incredibly dangerous if we don't choose to act on it.
And so essentially you're saying, based on the experiences of your siblings and yourself, the proper system was not in place to tackle this issue.
Correct. And also I think that in terms of society, we're seeing some acceptance of this kind of negativity. We're seeing it normalized, particularly by the behaviors you see on television, in films. I think that throughout media, we're starting to see it normalized, and little kids have exposure to all sorts of media now, and it's not the same as putting the TV in the living room. So you're seeing those behaviors carry over into everyday life, and that's where the bullying is getting a lot worse.
And you've traveled to schools throughout the state, including here in the Rochester region, in an effort to not only talk with students about the dangerous effects of bullying, but to also teach students to stand up against it. So what's your message to students? How do you get them to understand the ripple effect of bullying?
Well, I figure there's no use in really preaching to kids about what bullying is because they know, they live with it. I find it more useful to spend my time helping each student find out and figure out how they as an individual can be part of this, because there is a ripple effect. You're right, that once one person starts, it's easier for the second person to stand up and the third person. And a lot of students have plenty of reasons why they don't want to stand up and why that's hard, but I try to help them realize that they do have that potential and that the only person that can hold them accountable for that is really themselves. But I also try to leave them with as much hope as possible in terms of helping them see that they are in control. They are the authors of their own lives, that they can make a decision. They can make a different decision if they're the one who is bullying. That doesn't mean you're this terrible person and society should write you off. It means that you just have to start to make a better decision, and it can be right now. And same with the kids who need to stand up, that you can stand up stronger right now. And the students being targeted, that they can stand up for themselves right now. But all around, I want them to realize that this is not something where they have to wait for the, quote, adults of the world to fix it. This is their issue that they are dealing with in a unique way, and therefore they have the power to make it change and stop.
And you bring up an interesting point. For myself, uncovering stories about bullying for WXXI, on a number of occasions, I'll come across adults who question whether kids really know the definition of bullying because it has become so much of a social norm, so to speak. And they question if students are able to really determine if they're bullying a peer or being bullied by a classmate. Do they know how to draw the line between harmless and harmful teasing? Is that ever an issue that you've come across when meeting with kids?
Yeah, it can be. And I think a lot of times they're nervous to bring something up as bullying that ends up not being bullying and vice versa. And I give them a couple of clear definitions. First of all, the difference between teasing and bullying, that teasing is when everyone is in on the joke and laughing, and that bullying is when someone has said, hey, that hurts, and you keep doing it. And also, the basic definition or the basic thing that I say that they seem to catch on to is that no one has the right to stand in the way of your journey to happiness, that it is a journey, that whether you find happiness or not, that's on you, but that when someone's purposefully standing in the way of that, that that's when it's crossing the line. And I also think that the word bully is just getting misused, and that we need to start giving kids credit for the fact that a lot of them, they're actually facing harassment. I mean, these are more serious issues in many cases when what they're going through is as effective on them as it is. So I think it's important that in terms of the discourse, we even be careful of belittling things down to the word bully, which can feel like, oh, it's just kids pushing on the playground, that we give kids credit for what they're going through. And with cyber stalking and with online harassment, sometimes kids are just getting stalked and harassed. And in the, quote, adult world, we have the terms and the support for that. But for them, they feel like they're being forgotten and belittled. But I make them understand that when someone is intentionally causing harm to you, when they know what they're doing hurts and they choose to do it anyway, they're crossing that line into bullying.
And Caitlin, can you tell me about some of the strategies you're teaching kids on how to deal with the bully, strategies for victims and also for those watching on the sideline?
Yeah, there's this really great theory I was taught by a friend that I share with students everywhere. And it's a three-step thing. It's called stop, block, and tell. And the first step being stop, that you have to tell the bully to stop. You have to tell them that what they're doing hurts. Because if they do think that it's funny and that you are in on the joke, they might not realize what they're doing. So the first is to tell them to stop. Second is block, which means you remove yourself from the situation or you get yourself to a place or a situation where the bully can't keep going after you. So whether it's that you leave the room, whether it's that you block that person online. And then tell, which means you reach out to someone. And I try to encourage kids to talk to a trusted adult because they can really step up for you, but only if they know what's going on. And I encourage kids to, even before they're in a situation with bullying, have an adult that they've had conversations with openly about their life, about what's going on. So by the time they reach out, they're not going in blindly, that this is an adult who understands them, respects them, and who they feel is going to not underreact or overreact, but truly step up for them. So those three basic steps, whether they're in kindergarten or high school, it's the same thing. And it works whether you are the victim or whether you are someone who sees it going on. And I also teach kids that you have to stand up together, that if one kid gets pushed down in the hall and everyone laughs, that's terrible. But as soon as one person goes over and helps that kid up, maybe two more will, and maybe three more will. And it's much more powerful if someone gets pushed down if everyone in the room goes over to help them up. And that sends a strong message to the bully that we don't want this behavior. And it, more importantly, sends a strong message to the victim and all the people in the room who've been through the victimization that we do not think you deserve this. Because when the kids stand by, when students stand by instead of stand up, they're sending a message that it's okay what's happening to you, and we have to stand up for a better message. So I try to help them realize what's really going on in terms of that and how powerful it is to stand up, that it's not just a one-time thing, that it's you starting a conversation amongst your peers about what you think you deserve as peers and as people.
And in standing up for peers, I know leadership is a big part of your message. Can you tell me about the effort to get students to become more peer advocates in this campaign against bullying?
Yes, I think a lot of what's going to help this issue is students helping students. I think that with cyberbullying, a lot of parents and a lot of teachers just struggle to be part of the conversation because it's not something they know. So the people who can stand up are the students, and I'm talking about older students standing up for their younger peers, about classmates standing up for each other. And I went to college when I was 19 years old and graduated right after my when I was 16 years old, and I graduated after my 19th birthday. And the kids are always shocked to hear that, but I look at them and say, why not? Maybe some of you are ready for that too. But that's leadership, is making positive choices and seeking positive choices for your life and for others. So bullying is seeking power and control through negative choices. Leadership is the opposite of that. So if they want control and power, they can have it. But you have to do it through positive behavior and choices.
Caitlin, throughout your travels meeting with students and teachers and parents, what has the response been, from young people when you visit their schools? What type of feedback have you been receiving?
I've been incredibly thrilled that so many students will reach out to me one-on-one after I come to visit, and they will share their stories. Sometimes they just want to talk. The students are very eager to converse about this, and many of them reach out asking, what can I do in my school? The interesting thing that's happened this year and what many schools have really enjoyed is that when I come in, I look more like a peer to the students. I've been through a lot of situations they have. So the conversation they'll have with me is different. They'll open up more, they'll converse more, and the teachers get to start to hear and see things that the students wouldn't necessarily bring up in a conversation with an authority figure of a parent or a teacher. So I've gotten to be a little bit of a middle ground between the two parties that starts the conversation. And I've been so thrilled with the number of students who have taken that and run with it. And I've helped a lot of them start up programs in their schools, A lot of the students, one student who started a blog that's become incredibly impressive, and a lot of them look at me as a young person and say, wow, at her age, if she can make a difference, who's to say that in a couple of years I couldn't be that way too, and so I'll start now. And it really has been inspiring how many of them are interested in helping make this stop by becoming part of the solution.
And you mentioned how young people are able to identify with you. You stand as that middle ground. What do you think that teachers, parents, adults are learning about this issue of bullying that they may not know about? Or what do you think is important for them to realize that they may not know right now?
I think that a lot of parents and teachers aren't giving students enough credit, in the sense that the digital age is completely driven by youth, and we can see that. And so a lot of times parents don't want to admit that they need someone to show them what Facebook is or help them learn how to use their email. But when you ask a student for that help, when you put them in that position where you respect what they are capable of, you're changing the dynamic of the relationship. And when the kids get that respect, then things change, the conversation changes. So I think a lot of parents need to be willing to look at a student and, you know, give them some props for what they are capable of, but then also say, I want to be part of this conversation. I admit I don't really know what it is, but will you help me so that I can help you? And I think that the willingness to learn, even if you don't want a Facebook account, to learn what it is, the willingness to go on YouTube and learn how to browse, to get involved in this stuff that is part of youth discourse so that you can help when a student comes to you. And also, I think the thing that parents struggle with is when a student comes to you with a problem, particularly in situations of sexting, where it's incredibly difficult to hear that that has come into your child's life, the parents will freak out a little bit, and that they have that stress that comes into their life as soon as that happens. But there's this term that I share with the kids and with parents called mama drama, where the parent is freaking out, and that can't happen in front of the child. You are the source of answers, and by the time a student comes to you to ask for help, they know they're in trouble. So lecturing them at that point is useless because they're not going to ask for help again. Or freaking out and getting emotional is useless because now they're embarrassed to ask for help again. At that point where a student comes for help, parents and teachers need to realize that's the point to help, and that the lessons and the conversations about what happened and why can happen after, but at that point, there's an immediate need for help. And so teaching parents that instant way of stepping up, and then, of course, being role models. We need more positive role models for students. We need people modeling better social behavior. And if they can't get it on television, if they can't get it in the movies where kids are watching and spending so much of their time, they have to see it in real life. And we have to get a lot of that into the family structure, into the community structure. But even right down to bus drivers and mailmen, there's no reason that everyone in the community can't be an example for the students around them. There's thousands of young eyes looking around trying to scan for someone they can look up to. So we all have to accept that role within ourselves and step up.
And taking a stand against bullying leads into the nonprofit that you launched this year, Project Empower. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, Project Empower was my response to the fact that we need to give kids more than just the fact that bullying's bad and let's end bullying. They're bullying because they're bored. They're bullying because they don't see anything else to do. And so what we do at Project Empower is try to help kids discover career opportunities and life skills such that they begin to think about things that are bigger than just within the walls of their middle school. They think about their future. They're exposed to new options. And if we can create freedom of choice, if we can expose every student to career paths so that you're not just restricted by the world that you come from but are now excited about the world you're going to enter, I think we can help them have bigger things to care about than just the rumors in their hallways. And if you help them realize that life is much bigger than what's going on in their school, if you can expand that scope, you are going to end up helping out with the students who end up in situations where they do commit suicide because they feel like they have nothing left. There's so much left. There's 7 billion people in the world. That means there's a place and a person for everyone. So at Project Empower, our goal is to give kids a much bigger scope of the world around them and hands-on interactive activities that put them in teams and start to teach them positive interactions with others, teaching them to appreciate each other's skills, to work together, and to communicate interactively in person, not just online, but how you spend time together after school working on something positive and get out in the community and make an impact together and learn and explore. And it's not about letter grades. It's all about exploration and experience.
And how can students and schools throughout the state get involved with Project Empower?
They can go on our website. We have opened up our school registration to all of New York City, and right now we're starting to expand. Obviously, Rochester is one of my first goals because that's my hometown. So I'll be reaching out to schools soon once we get everything ready to go up there. But they can go on our website, and they can sign up on our school registration to let us know that they're interested in bringing the programs up. And we'll be expanding up that way, hopefully within the next year, so that we can have schools starting up in the fall with some of our programs and resources.
Great. And just to clarify, is it projectempower.org?
It's proempower.org, yep.
Very good. Okay, and Caitlin, we're excited to have you in Rochester on Friday. You'll be participating in the screening of the film Bully at the Little Theater and participating in a panel discussion afterwards after viewing the film. You've already had a chance to see it, so I wanted to know, what was your reaction to the documentary?
Having been to so many schools and spoken with so many students, I was surprised because so much of what I saw in the film was stuff that I've seen all year. But what surprised me most was the way that parents and teachers were reacting in the audience, that they really were shocked. And I think that it's important, more than students seeing this film, I think that adults really need to see it and to see what the modern vision of bullying is. And I also found that it was a brilliant conversation piece for families, that if you take your students to this, you will learn something, they might learn something, but more importantly, you'll be able to discuss it afterwards and open up that conversation about bullying and teach your children how to converse about it, teach yourself how to converse about it with your child. It's a really wonderful conversation piece within this whole issue.
Caitlin Monti, Miss New York. We're looking forward to having you here on Friday, and thank you for your time.